Off the ball, GAA.
Ewan is actually, he's saying, guys, come out and tell us the facts. Tell us what's happened. We've so much to go on with in Mayo GAA.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll have the fallout from Drogheda's expulsion from the Conference League. We'll also have reaction to events on the field in the League of Ireland Premier Division last night. And Chelsea get off to a winning start at the Club World Cup in a fairly empty stadium. But first to events in Drogheda. And yesterday it was confirmed that Drogheda United won't compete in next season's Conference League after they lost their case at the Court of Arbitration for Sport in Lausanne. The FAI Cup winners are owned by the Trivella Group and qualified for the competition when they beat Derry City 2-0 in the Cup final last year. However, Danish club Silkeborg, which came under the Trivella umbrella shortly after the Drogs' win, also secured a place in the Conference League through their league position 2 weeks ago. Under UEFA's multi-club ownership rules, two sides with the same majority owner can't enter the same European competition. Silkeborg take priority due to their higher league position under UEFA guidelines, and Drogheda were therefore excluded from tomorrow's second round draw, the first club to suffer that fate. A massive blow for Kevin Doherty's side, with over €500,000 in prize money for reaching the Conference League on offer. No other League of Ireland club can take their place due to UEFA licensing deadlines having passed. And the news came shortly before Drogheda's game at home to Shamrock Rovers last night. It started well when George Cooper put the Drogs 1-0 up after just 4 minutes, but Graham Burke scored a free kick before half-time to make it 1-1, a free kick that Drogheda disputed. Aaron Green scored the winner with just over 15 minutes to go. Speaking to Off the Ball's Nathan Murphy, Kevin Doherty said he was proud of how his players dealt with what was a difficult day.
Yeah, we've spoken about other ones before. It's tough day. But the one thing that you can be very happy with is the performance tonight. And certainly you wouldn't be happy with the performance of certain individuals that took the game away from us. But, look, there's no point in pretending it was a tough day, yeah.
Yeah. The news obviously couldn't have come at a worse time either, just a couple of hours before kick-off in one of your biggest games of the season. What was the reaction like in the dressing room as word came through?
It's tough, yeah, of course. Of course, because everyone obviously knows the case today, and very confident. And every word I said, I don't know if you saw my press conference thing on Friday, every word I said, stick by, was very confident. Trust everything that was being done. And unfortunately, it didn't go for us. And it's tough, just don't pretend. Yeah. But I have to be absolutely, it's amazing. The players going out against playing against the best team in the league by a mile. They're the best team in the league by a mile. And our lads are going out. And we're going in 1-0 at half-time. Which is when we're missing players after playing really, really well, and then gets taken away from us. And there's nothing, and they can pretend all they want. And I'm not trying to hide behind decision, but there's 700, I'd say, Shamrock Rovers supporters up in that stand. And I don't think one of them, everyone was looking around, but taken away from us.
Shamrock Rovers boss Stephen Bradley was also disappointed for his old club's expulsion.
Yeah, it was obviously a difficult day for Drogheda as a football club. Fear for Kevin and his players and his staff, the fans, fear for them because they've had to earn it on the pitch and it's obviously being taken away from them off the pitch. So you have to really fear for them and it's not nice to see. So we knew we were coming here and like you said, the fans, everyone would be emotional and they would use that to their advantage, and they did. They started really well. They get the goal early on. And then after 15-20 minutes, we settled down and started to control it.
Shelburne boss Damien Duff told Off the Ball's Scarlett Heron that not only was he disappointed for Drogheda, but also the league in general.
Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of it. You always hope that common sense will prevail and they're allowed playing it. So good for Kevin. And there are a lot of players up there that I would love to see in it. Players that have tried to sign over the years, maybe players that have let go, but players that I'm really fond of, and even the most recent one, Shane Farrell. I feel for them because they're brilliant guys, Shane and many other lads in the team. So I have to say I'm good for them, and I'm good for the league as well.
St. Pat's boss Stephen Kenny felt it was harsh in Drogheda to be expelled from European competition.
Very unfortunate, of course, and it seems incredibly harsh considering other clubs are clearly multi-owned that have managed to through administration for administration reasons, they managed to bypass the rule. That seems to be the case. So they seem to have paid the price for obviously for that multi-club model, which seems to be an operation that's quite widespread. So I'm not privy to all the information, but it seems extremely harsh, and they qualified for Europe on merit by winning the cup, and so it's unfortunate for them.
Stephen Bradley, Stephen Kenny and Damien Duff have all managed in Europe and will do so again this season, something Kevin Doherty will miss out on, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a bit of everything. Yeah, you're right. You dream of it, like, you know, I might never manage in Europe. Like, who knows? There's players in there that won the FA Cup and burst their backsides to do it. There's lads assigned here because we're playing in Europe. So I was disappointed. I thought we were. The one thing that you can say is that they've shown already in the short space of time how good the group is. Because we put it up to them, as I said, I keep saying, the best team by a mile. But we really put it up to them tonight. Should have got something, deserved, more than deserved something out of it.
In terms of that win for Rovers, they're now 9 points clear of Bohemians, who do have two games in hand. The two sides are due to meet at Dalymount Park next Monday. Third place Drogheda are 11 points behind Rovers. Doherty felt that decision to reward Rovers a controversial free kick changed the game.
Confused as to what had happened, and you're looking at the replays going, was it a handball? Did it touch his hand? Did you get any explanation as to...
Yeah, well, I was told that it was for a handball against Andy Quinn. Like, he's running like that. It's... I don't want to prejudice anything, because I'm going to talk or whatever, make it official about this, because it's not good enough. And it might be because you're saying an emotional day and all that type of stuff, and I'll probably look like a clown on the touchline at times. But again, I haven't been booked, and people think I'm mad about... I haven't been booked since the sixth game of the season. It's now 20, whatever it is, 21. And, like, sometimes, like, you just have to let people know. Like, I really feel that was... It was just unacceptable, in my opinion, and in the opinion of how many... couple of thousand people were here, I'd imagine, and everyone watching it at home. It's not as if we haven't had a tough enough day with how things conspired. Shamrock Rovers, as I said, are the best team in the country by a mile, and they don't need any help, and they got it tonight.
Rovers boss Stephen Bradley says he feels there's a lot more to come from his players.
I really like where we are. We're in a good place, and I do genuinely think there's more to come from the group. I think we can get better in so many areas, and that will be our focus over the next few months, to get better in them areas. And the squad's in a good place. Everyone's pushing each other. You need to stay focused, keep working hard. But I like where we are. It's in a good place, but I feel there's so much more to come from this group.
In last night's other game, Shelburne beat St Pat's 1-0 at Richmond Park thanks to a first half goal from Ali Coote. That result put Shells level on points with Pats on 30 points. They're about 12 behind Rovers at the top. Shells boss Damien Duff felt it was a well-deserved 3 points for his side.
Deserved for two different reasons. For the first half, being one, how good we were in the ball, how we played through them, the quality we showed on the ball, and obviously summed it up with a brilliant goal. So we deserve to go in at half-time 1-0 up. And then the second half, the other side of football, I'd be the first to say we didn't keep the ball well enough in the second half. We couldn't make four or five passes. So we near on defended for the whole half, 50 minutes. And it's the other side of football, working for each other, trusting your structure, willing to put your body on the line, die for the shirt, die for your teammate. And that's the other reason why we deserve to win the game. So fabulous night for the guys.
St Pat's patchy form continues. They take on Galway United away from home on Friday night before they have a home game against Derry City next Monday. Pat's manager Stephen Kenny said it was a disappointing evening for his side, who lost at home for the first time this season.
Yeah, we're disappointed. You know, we the second half was waves of attack. You know, we contrast in performances between the first and second half, to be honest. I was disappointed about our first half. Second half, I thought we were absolutely excellent. High degree of technical quality, good individual wing play, a lot of chances, and we just should have taken one. I mean, we didn't manage to take a chance, and that's hurt us, and we're disappointed.
Ireland will play the first leg of their Nations League promotion relegation playoff against Belgium at the Aviva Stadium on Friday, the 24th of October. It'll be a first appearance at the Lansdowne Road venue for the girls in green since they were beaten by Wales in the second leg of their Euro 2025 playoff late last year. Belgium finished third in League A Group 3. They're ranked 20th in the world, 5 places above Carlo Ward's side. Ireland are aiming to return to League A after they were relegated from a group with England, France and Sweden in 2024. Belgium will travel to Dublin for the first leg before they host Ireland on their patch the following Tuesday. It'll be the fifth time the women's team have played at the Aviva. Next up for Ireland is 2 friendlies against the USA later this month. It starts with a game in Denver on Thursday the 26th of June at 2 a.m. kickoff our time. The other game's on Sunday the 29th of June in Cincinnati. That has an earlier kickoff of 8 p.m. Irish time.
In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, we had some of this.
David Brady, good morning, commiserations.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I've come to talk to you again. Other things went.
And there was also some of this.
Oh, mate, it's unbelievable. I've been involved with Irish rugby for 25 years. I have never seen Irish rugby become so arrogant and northern. We've seen the English be arrogant for a long, long time, you know. 800 odd years. But, you know, like, I've never seen Irish rugby like this.
Catch up now elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning when Off the Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
Turning attention now to the Club World Cup, and Chelsea got their campaign off to a good start with a 2-0 win over LAFC. Goals from Pedro Neto and Enzo Fernandez gave Enzo Maresca's side the 3 points on a night Liam Delap made his debut for the club. But it was the sparse crowd that grabbed the most headlines. It was reported just 22,000 fans attended the game in the 75,000 capacity stadium in Atlanta. Maresca said he was pleased that the poor crowd didn't affect their performance.
The stadium was not almost empty, not full. After 3 weeks, almost 3 weeks off, we start quite well. We create chances. Again, we win a game, clean sheet.
Elsewhere last night, Boca Juniors threw away a 2-goal lead against Benfica. Miguel Marenthiel and Rodrigo Battaglia gave Boca a 2-0 lead early in the match before Argentine Angel Di Maria pulled one back from the penalty spot just before half-time. An ill-tempered game saw former Manchester United midfielder Ander Herrera shown a red card for Boca after he came off with an injury. Benfica striker Andrea Belotti was given his marching orders for a high boot on Ayrton Costa. Nicolas Otamendi scored an equaliser for Benfica, and Boca centre-back Jorge Figal was given a red card late on for a shocking challenge on Florentino Luis. In the early hours of the morning, Flamengo were 2-0 winners over Tunisian side Esperance de Tunis, who had former UCD, Longford Town and Benfica player Ayman Ben Mohamed on their bench. Today, Brazilian side Fluminense take on Borussia Dortmund at 5 o'clock. River Plate and Urawa Red Diamonds of Japan kick off at 8. Ulsan HDFC of South Korea play Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa at 11 o'clock. And in the very early hours of the morning, Champions League finalist Inter take on Mexican side Monterrey. Manchester United are monitoring Eintracht Frankfurt striker Hugo Ekitike as a potential recruit. The French forward is of interest to Ruben Amorim, with United missing out on one of his prime targets, Victor Gyökeres. The Sporting strikers expressed a preference to move to Arsenal and play Champions League football next season. 22-year-old Ekitike has scored 19 goals in 47 Bundesliga appearances for Frankfurt, having initially been loaned to the German club in February 2024. The Frenchman subsequently signed a 5-year deal for around €17 million last April. The France under-21 international has a total of 50 goals in 151 career games. Bournemouth have signed France left-back Adrien Truffert from Rennes on a 5-year deal. The 23-year-old's arrival paves the way for Milos Kerkes, a Liverpool target, to leave the club. Truffert, born in Belgium, won his sole France cap in a Nations League game against Denmark in September 2022. He played for France at the Olympics in Paris last year and helped them finish as runners-up. Leeds fear that Yaka Biol's mooted move to Elland Road could be hijacked. The 26-year-old Udinese and Slovenia centre-half is very close to signing for Daniel Farke's promoted side, but late interest from other clubs, notably Newcastle and Milan, may place that €20 million deal in doubt. Newcastle up to sign Brighton forward João Pedro and Burnley goalkeeper James Trafford. Both potential transfers could prove complicated though and won't come cheap. Meanwhile, one player on his way to Brighton is defender Diego Coppola, and it's from Verona for around €10.5 million. The 21-year-old's agreed a 5-year deal. He has 2 caps for Italy. The Premier League club are also poised to confirm that they've signed the defender Olivier Boscoli on a free transfer from PSV. Brighton brought in teenage striker Haralampos Kostoulas from Olympiacos last week for €35 million. And the WSL will expand from 12 to 14 teams from next year. At the end of next season, the top 2 sides from the second tier WSL2 will be promoted automatically. In addition, the third place team in WSL2 will face a playoff with the WSL's bottom side for a place in the top flight. That's about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan and I'll be back with more tomorrow.